was pure blue, ice clean. The creature was floating belly upwards. Most of it was tail, which snaked back until it was lost in the surf. When a particularly heavy swell moved the body, Kin glimpsed a long equine head and one empty eye socket. It must have been old. No creature could grow that big fast. And the white belly was pitted with sea worm holes and studded with shellfish. She flew back up. It would be nice to get it on a dissecting table with a winch. "It's dead," she announced. "There's a gash in it you could sail a boat through. Fresh, too. It's the same sort of creature as the one we saw this morning, I think." It had been too far to the right, looping through the water like a scaly-backed sine wave. "It's very definitely dead," she said reassuringly, seeing Silver's face.
"What is currently occupying my mind is what killed it," said the Shand. "I will be happy to get my feet on terra firma."
The more firma, the less terra, thought Kin. She found she preferred the sky. There was something reassuring about lift belts, far more so than the disc. She knew belts didn't fail. The disc might break up at any moment, but she would remain safely hanging in space.
"There is an island a few miles off," said Silver. "Just a dome of rock. I can see the marks of fires. Shall we land?"
Kin peered ahead. There was a smudge, a long way off. The sea seemed to be calm, too. The idea of a short stop had merit. The flying suits had never been designed for extended use in gravity. Her legs had been trailing uselessly below her since they had left the settlement and felt like lead. It would be nice to stamp some new blood into them. "Marco," she said. He was hovering some way off, still wrapped in self-recrimination. There was a sigh in her ear.
"I can hold no useful opinions," he said, "but I see no obvious dangers."
The island was small and obviously tidal. Seaweed, now almost dry, covered most of it. So many fires had been lit at the highest point of the rock, about 3 metres above the sea now, that it was black. Kin landed first, and keeled over as her legs refused to support her. A crab scuttled out of the seaweed in front of her face. Silver landed lightly and then hauled on the line to tow the dumb waiter out of the sky. While Kin sat massaging some life back into her legs, the Shand bustled around, cutting seaweed for the machine's intake hopper. In normal use, the dumbwaiter extracted all its molecules from the air around it, but Silver had a big appetite. After a while, she tapped Kin on the shoulder and handed her a cup of coffee, reserving a large bowl of something red for herself. It was quite possibly synthetic Shand. So what? "Where's Marco?" said Kin, looking round. Silver swallowed and pointed upward.
"He switched off his transmitter," she said. "He has problems, that one."
"You're not kidding," said Kin. "He thinks he's a human and knows he's a Kung, and every time he acts like a Kung, he feels ashamed."
"All Kung and humans are crazy," said Silver conversationally. "He's craziest. If he thought about it, he would realise there's a logical impossibility about all this."
"Oh, yes," said Kin wearily. "I know he's not physically human, but the Kung believes one's being is determined by the place—" She stopped. Silver was grinning encouragingly and nodding.
"Go on," she said. "You're nearly there. Kung think the nearest available soul enters the offspring at birth. But Marco is supposed to be human. Humans don't really believe that kind of superstition, do they? Ergo, he must be a body and soul Kung."
There was a gasp in Kin's ear. Marco may have switched off his transmitter, but Kung were paranoid. He'd never switch off his receiver. Kin looked up at the distant dot in the air. Silver mouthed the words, "Ignore him." "I suppose lives people lit those fires," said Kin vaguely. "We must be on a trade route."
"Yes. Have you noticed the variations in the sea's roughness?"
Kin had. There were billions of tons of water on the disc, constantly draining over the edge. It had to get back somehow. Assuming the disc builders couldn't work magic, there was a molecule sieve down there connected to, Kin writhed, a matter transmitter. Simple. You clamp receivers to the sea floor and pump the water back, only things were going wrong. Over the last day and a half, they had passed over circular areas of raging sea. Too much was coming up, or maybe only a few receivers were still available to take the volume. "I keep forgetting this is just a big machine," she said.
"I think you are being too hard on the disc builders," said Silver. "Apart, of course, from the possibilities of a breakdown, there is no great disadvantage to living in a cosmos like this, surely. You can still evolve a science."
"Sure, the wrong science.